Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm your host, Simona McNeil, and today I am joined by the amazing Tracy Glass. Now, you may know Tracy as a life or divorce coach, but she is so much more. I am so excited about her mission and her work, which revolves around helping women get unstuck. She works with them to move past things like fear and doubt that can keep them paralyzed in life and prevent them from reaching new heights and the next level. She's also a dynamic, inspirational speaker, a Bible instructor, a ministry leader, and director for her church's mentoring program out in San Francisco. Tracy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Simona. It is a pleasure to be here.
We appreciate you. I'm so excited for the message that you have for everyone today.
Great. Now, God is good. I'm excited to speak with everyone.
Awesome. Now, your talk title, just to remind everyone, is Breaking Fear's Grip, Finding Courage in God's Word. How did you come up with that title?
So funny you asked that question. I think a lot of the titles and things that I come up with, Simona, is because I've personally walked through that particular situation. And so my topic is because I've had the opportunity to speak several times about fear, and it is something that I've dealt with intimately. When I walked through a divorce after 24 years of being married, and I think we all have encountered a particular type of fear. It's a very powerful emotion. The problem with fear is when we allow it to take control of our lives, and when it begins to impact us physically, emotionally, our decisions, and even ruin our relationship with God and others. But when I walked through the divorce, I dealt with fear on steroids, and I had never encountered anything like that before. So I knew at that point, the Bible talks about the spirit of fear. And I believe the spirit of fear is when it comes to try to overtake you. It, as you said, it gets you stuck. It holds you hostage. It prevents you from moving forward in the plans and the purposes that God has for us. As I was walking through my divorce, I had to encounter fear. There was a time, Simona, where I felt like the enemy was trying to destroy me. It was such a fear that I would come home and I would hide. I would actually close my door, and there was no one here. My children were all in college. I was newly walking through this divorce, and yet I would still go into my room and close the door because I felt like that was a place where I was safe. And so I knew at that point that the enemy was attacking me in this area. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And it was at that point where I knew I needed to encounter more of God's love to combat the fear that I was facing in that situation. The fear that manifested itself was, it was like a gut-wrenching fear, Simona. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that, but I could physically feel the fear, and it came from a place of deep pain and not understanding what was going on, what was my next steps, thinking about my children, thinking about finances. It was all of that wrapped up into the fear of my future and what was next for me. So yeah, that was my reason why I began to dig deeper and to look at this topic of fear, because I believe it's an important topic that not only that I had to address and overcome, but that many women and men deal with, even as Christians.
That is so important that you mentioned that, because I think for many of us, especially if you've taken the time to explore fear, it can be a little discerning initially, mm-hmm. because we're taught that fear is just an emotional response to danger. But when you encounter the spirit of fear, which is something completely different, as you just mentioned, it's so much deeper than that. It's as though logic and rational thoughts go out of the window. And the only way to combat that, in my experience, just that you just shared, is with the word of God.
Amen.
And I absolutely love your topic, because years ago, I wouldn't have thought that fear and courage, like I wouldn't have thought that the two would go in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. But now that I have a deeper relationship with God and I actually read the Bible for myself instead of relying on others to distill it for me, it reminds me of just Joshua 1:9 when you, every time I read it, which is just to remind our audience, where God is talking to Joshua and he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go." And so I think that's just an important reminder. Sometimes it's been my experience when I encounter others and tell them like I'm experiencing fear, I get the sort of pushback. "Oh, just pray about that," or "You're not afraid." And I will never say praying won't do anything. I would never say that, because I have seen how powerful prayer is in my life. But I think when you say that to a person who is experiencing the spirit of fear, it can sometimes come off dismissive. It can sometimes come off, "Okay, but I have been praying. So what are you saying? Right. Am I further from the Lord than I thought I was?" Can you talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great point. Unfortunately, I believe that as a church body, that we don't quite understand fear or the spirit of fear if we have not gone through it ourselves. And oftentimes we just speak from a place of, I'll just say it, throwing scriptures at people, which is not helpful for people. And what I've learned, Simona, in my walk with fear is to get godly counsel from people that have walked the walk and talked the talk, so that a comment or the example that you gave doesn't come across as dismissive or even judgmental, or that it's easy as 1, 2, 3, and we just go to God in prayer and he releases us. Oftentimes, with the spirit of fear, we have to face fear. We have to go a little deeper and begin to understand, where is this coming from? I'll give you an example. It's silly. And at one time, I didn't really want to share about this fear, but I've learned to share about it, because through this small little incident, God taught me a bigger lesson about the spirit of fear. So I've always been afraid of mice, even from a little girl. My parents, I grew up in an area, and It was an open field. And so we had a lot of mice in the house. And so from an early age, I just hated seeing a mouse. And as I've grown up, that fear has gotten worse. And literally to the point where I have isolated myself in a room because I have been that afraid of seeing a mouse. So I had an episode happen, and this happened about 6 years ago. Again, it was when I was going through my divorce and I was already dealing with a lot of types of fear. And then all of a sudden I see a mouse. And the weird thing about it, Simona, this mouse was in my bedroom. Now, okay, come on now. We've seen mice in the kitchen and scurried through other areas, but how did this mouse get in my bedroom? And so I was really troubled. And so what I did, Simona, I moved out of my bedroom into my daughter's old room, because again, she was away at college. And I stayed in that room for a whole month. And I did have the courage. I did go to the store. I got traps. I caught the mouse, Simona, the next day. But I was still so afraid to go back into my room because I felt like, okay, his friends could be there. He could invited his family over. I did not know. And yeah. So what happened was, as I was in my daughter's bedroom for that month, the Lord began to speak to me. And he asked me one day, when are you going to move back into your room? And I said, God, I don't know when I'm going to move back in the room. And he told me that I did not have to be afraid anymore. And what he showed me, he told me to do, was he told me to cover all access points of where that mouse was coming into the house. And I thought, I saw that mouse in my room. I saw him scurry up into my cabinet. And so I went and got an SOS pad and I stuck, because there was a hole in my cabinet, I stuck the SOS pad up there. And then the Holy Spirit said, go outside in the garage, cover that access point. And so the Holy Spirit began to show me how that mouse got up into my room. And I covered all access points. And then the Lord began to speak to me and say, it's the same with fear. When we're dealing with fear, we got to cover the access points. We got to face it and identify where is this fear coming in and begin to do the work to unravel where the enemy's coming in our life. And as we mentioned earlier, that unraveling comes with applying scripture, which is the truth, over the lie, which the enemy comes to let us know that is going on in our life. And so for me, during that season, it was, you're not loved. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. You'll never love again. What he's saying about you is all true. It's all the list of things that fear came to speak about, because fear has a voice and a loud voice. And it plays this thing, this community. I call it the community in my head that says, oh, you don't want to do that. You're not qualified to do that. You can't speak about that. It speaks to us in that way. And so the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about counteracting that voice with God's voice, and how God's voice, Simona, should be the loudest voice in my head and not the fear and the things that the enemy was trying to do to really abort the call of God off of my life. It was a training of learning what God says about me to dispel the fear.
It's so interesting. Thank you for talking everyone through that piece. When it comes to the access points that we give fear, can you talk through that a little bit more? What does that look like?
Yeah, great question. Like an access point that I gave fear was, number one, listening to the voice in my head that was always negative. Fear is always going to have a negative voice. It's never going to be affirmative. And so I think oftentimes the access point that we give is we don't, as the scripture says, we don't bring every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. We allow that thought to come. It comes into our head, right? And then it travels down to our heart, and we begin to believe that thought as truth, and we act on it. And so I think that's really the first area where we give the access is we believe the lies that are spoken over us, and we come into agreement with them. It's almost, yeah, I am that way. And yeah, I did do that. And we forget about what God says, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that he loves us with unconditional and everlasting love, that he that has started a work in me, a great work in me, will be faithful to complete it. And that one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3:5-6, to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto my own understanding in all thy ways. If I acknowledge him, he's going to direct my path. And Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added. And so as I'm reciting these, Simona, what's coming to my memory too, is that we got to know the word of God to counteract the lies that the enemy can throw at us related to fear. Because if we don't know the word, we don't have the ammunition to fight against the enemy's attack. And so the word of God and negative thinking, eradicating negative thinking, are so key to us tapping into those access areas that the enemy tries to attack us with.
That's so good. Some people think it's as simple as having willpower. I have the willpower, I have the motivation, I desire to move past fear, and that's enough. And that could be, it could be a pitfall for some. And so I love that throughout this entire interview, you've been pointing people back to the truth, pointing them back to the word, pointing them back to the Bible. Even if I look at my own experiences with fear and how I got here, like how the Holy Spirit started teaching me about fear, I can say with all confidence that until I remembered my identity in Christ, I was still plagued and riddled with fear. Like the enemy was so strategic with his plan that he had me wanting to kill myself. And it wasn't until the Lord came in and sat with me and was my comforter and really just bestowed his unconditional and perfect love on me that I was able to break free from that. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit just revealed like the various different types of fear that we can encounter that you talked about.
Wow, that's powerful, Simona. It is. I'm reminded of this in Genesis chapter 3. This is the story where Adam and Eve had sinned, the serpent's plot to really deceive Eve. And the plot was about fear and doubt. He wanted her to doubt who she was, exactly what you just said, who she was in God. And so he attacked her with the fear. And here is Adam's reply to God when he asks them about where were they? And he says, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And when I read that scripture, the thought that I had was, this is how the enemy tries to get us. He tries to make us hide in fear. And he wants to make us doubt the goodness of God. And he wants us to feel ashamed, which is why he said, because I was naked. And so that plot that he did with Adam and Eve is still happening today. It's not a new scenario, Simona. It's just a different outfit that he puts on each of us. But at the end of the day, it always goes back to that first time where the enemy tries to come in with fear in scripture. And we can see what he was trying to do. And so I think that this is so key, because when we begin to see that the enemy's attempt is for us to doubt God, for us to fear, for us to isolate ourselves, for us to hide from God and from others and from our true identity and from our purpose, then we can really begin to see him for who he is. But if we walk around and not really aware that we see the enemy, oh, I see you trying to get access with my children. Oops, I see you trying to get access in my marriage. I see you trying to get access with me and my identity. And then we go around with eyes that just see in the natural versus us seeing in from a heavenly perspective of how what God would want us to see. And so I think, again, that when we recognize that it is a attempt, as you said, on our identity, then we can begin to really close that door that no, you're not going to come in and try to have me doubt who God says, my identity in Christ, my heavenly identity. And I think that's a powerful strategy to combat the enemy related to fear and doubt.
I couldn't agree more. One of the pesky things about the spirit of fear that I want to make sure we drive home today is that it's what you just mentioned. It doesn't come alone. It doesn't come by itself. It brings doubt. It brings shame. And when you aren't taking your thoughts captive, you become more susceptible to the enemy's lies. Mm-hmm. When you aren't staying in community, you just mentioned that the enemy's tactic is to cause us to hide and go off to ourselves. Mm-hmm. When you aren't staying in community, a community of the saints, a community of like-minded Christians, your wise counsel, again, you put yourself in a position where you're more susceptible to his lies. And then finally, when you're not staying in your word, you don't have enough information. The word of God tells us that his word is like a two-edged sword. How mm-hmm. are you going into battle without your sword? If you think of that from a very natural perspective, let's take the supernatural out of it for a moment, right? If you think about that from a very natural perspective, would any of us, either ourselves or send one of our loved ones into a battle without their sword, without their right. means of actually cutting down and destroying the enemy? I'm sure all of us can answer very confidently, no, we wouldn't do that. That's maddening.
We're unprotected.
Exactly. But when you don't get into your word, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. As you said, that's Ephesians 6:10, right? Where it tells us to put on the full armor of God, and it strengthens us. The armor is what makes us strong, because without it, we're weak. We don't, as you said, we don't have the ability to fight against the enemy related to fear, doubt, unbelief, and all of the many levels that fear can lead us into.
Yeah. So good. I know for me personally, it resulted in me mistreating and mismanaging fear. And what mm-hmm. I mean by that is I kept going to doctors because I thought something was wrong with me. I thought I was broken or defective. The different lies that the enemy tells us that right. we believe until God sets us free. And so I would go to these doctors and they would offer medicine. And then I'd wonder why I'm not getting any better, why these thoughts aren't going away. It's because I wasn't taking the right medicine. I wasn't getting the right script.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. That's so good. Yeah.
It was just a Band-Aid for symptoms. But one of my friends said, we were talking about fear here recently, and she said something that was so good. She said, why would you go to I'm going to butcher it, but in essence, she said, like, why would you go to the middleman when you could go to the creator and say, hey, this is going on with something you made, how to fix it. the plans you have for it, what is necessary in order to bring it back to wholeness. Why would you do that? And I was just like, that's so good, because that's what I was doing. I was looking at the middleman. God gave the doctor the knowledge, but I trusted self-medication, if you will, going to a doctor versus going back to the creator.
Yeah, that's so good, Simona. When you were saying that, I was just thinking about how fear is really a punisher disguised as our friend, because that's how fear comes to us. Even in your situation, fear comes to us as, I'm going to protect you. Okay, so listen to what I say. And we buy into the tactics of fear. And then at the end of it, we realize that, what? Fear has really prevented me from fulfilling my purpose. It's kept me on the sidelines, watching everybody else get in the game and fulfill their calling and fulfill their purpose. And I'm cheering everybody else on, but I have never jumped into the game. And often the root of that is because fear is convincing us to stay right where we are. And so, yeah, I recognize too that even when I remarried, because after 10 years of being divorced, I remarried. But within the dating process with my new husband, it wasn't going to happen, Simona, because I was afraid to trust again. Fear had me convinced that people could not be trusted, especially a man, because of what I had gone through with the divorce. And I had built up such a wall of protection that when love came again, I doubted and actually over-spiritualized it in ways and talked myself out of it. There were so many things that I did. And at the root of it, it was fear. I was really afraid to love again. And so God had to do some work within me to show me that I can trust him, right? I can trust him with this decision. And it wasn't that my new husband did anything to make me not trust him, but it was just the fear trying to not allow me to move forward in that next step that God had for me. And it's a great step. And so I did, I overcame it. And I sometimes with fear, it's again, it's staring it in the face and saying, no, I'm not going to align with you because I believe that God has a greater plan and a vision for me. And it's a faith move that by faith, I am going to step out and believe that this is the next level. To marry my husband was the next step that God had for me, even though it felt scary. And so I'm so glad that I looked fear in the face and I didn't run from fear this time. I had to sit with the fear. I had to identify, this is the root. This is why I'm feeling it. Is this Tracy? Is this a truth or this is a lie? And I had to begin to pray and really ask God to help me overcome the part that was very irrational.
Tracy, that's so good, because you just gave people practical steps to get to the freedom. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I absolutely love that. I could sit here and talk to you for hours. We could sit here and just exchange testimonies of his goodness for hours.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to you for your time and for sharing your experience. Before I let you go, I would love for you to share with our listeners today and just let them know how they can stay in touch with you.
Okay, absolutely. You can go to my website, which is tracyglasscoaching.com, and love for you to contact me on the site. And there are some free resources that you can download as well. And also, I'm on Facebook. My page is Tracy Hester Glass, or on Instagram is I am Tracy Glass. And so those are ways that you can stay in touch with me. And again, I'd love to share more about my testimony or chat with you.
Thank you so much. And I know that you have a free gift that they'll be able to download from the summit website, and it will also be included in the show notes. Do you want to talk through that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, it's a 5-day reading plan, and it's called Breaking Fear's Grip, Finding Courage in God's Word. And this reading plan just breaks down fear, the DNA of fear, talk a little bit about godly fear versus ungodly fear, and it unpacks fear, really identifies what are we afraid of. And then it goes into confronting fear, the reasons why we cannot let fear take access, as I explained with the mouse. And I give 5 reasons of why we must confront it. And one of those is fear can make us sick. And there's a scripture in Luke that talks about men's hearts fail them because of fear. But we talk a little bit about the reasons why we must overcome fear. And then we talk about faith over fear, and talk about getting out of the analyze room, which is sometimes overanalyzing can be really a problem when we're dealing with fear and victimization. So it is a 5-day reading plan that just it breaks it down, lots of scripture, and gives us strategies on what we can use, all scripture-based, to overcome fear.
I love that. I'm so excited about it. Last question for you. Are you including anything in the marketplace that you want to share with our listeners?
Yes, a couple things I'm going to include in the marketplace. I'm going to include my latest book, which is written for women that are walking through divorce or separation. It's a 30-day devotional. It's called Restored: God's Promises to Beautifully Rebuild You After Divorce or Separation. That will also be included, as well as I have a bracelet. It's a beautiful leather bracelet with a charm, a bronze charm that says Restored on it. So those were the 2 items that will be in the marketplace.
Thank you so much. I am so excited for our listeners to check out the marketplace and grab them. All right, Tracy, again, thank you for sharing your wealth of wisdom and knowledge with us and your testimony. I know that God is going to use it for not only your good, but for our listeners, and so that they can move past being stuck and stop being captives of the enemy's lies. So I just wanted to thank you before closing out our interview today.
Oh, thank you, Simona, for having me. And I just know that the summit is going to be so powerful. And I can't wait to hear the testimonies of what people say after they have finished this, and how people are moving in their purpose and walking in freedom from fear.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.